Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tom Howard, and this is Gravel Notes. Off the back of the Monte Carlo rally, we're now heading to perhaps one of the fastest rallies on the calendar. And when you consider the location and terrain, you think quite the opposite. That's right, it's Rally Sweden, which means snow and ice and perhaps some of the most spectacular looking stages on the calendar. This marks the first time this season that we'll see World Rally Champion Kalle Rovanperä back as he contests a partial season this year, which will raise the stakes for the regulars. I'm Tom Howard, and joining me once again is Luke Barry, who's going to take the co-driver seat after calling some great notes last time out. So we're going to cover the main and the biggest stories heading into the rally. And also, for a bit of fun, we're going to have a little rally quiz at the end to test Luke's knowledge. So no pressure, Luke. Welcome.
Thanks, mate. And immediate pressure, I'll be honest. But it's a good fun idea. We've talked about it. But I have to say, I think already you've managed to retain the same co-driver. So you're doing better than most drivers did in the 2021 season, aren't you? So well done, Tom.
Well, actually, I introduced you as your co-driver, but really it should be the other way around because you've actually done a rally and I've actually had a go at co-driving. So we need to swap this around.
Maybe we do. Yeah, but the thing is, do you think you had a career as a co-driver? I know I don't as a driver. That's the thing. So maybe we are better to swap and try something else out.
Yeah, I don't think I've got a career in either driving or co-driving, but I'd love to have another go at co-driving. I quite enjoyed it. But anyway, let's get on to it. So Rally Sweden coming up. Obviously, this is one of the sort of classics, shall we say, of the calendar. It's the only snow rally. It often brings some brilliant imagery and also some fantastic competition. What are your thoughts? Obviously, the big story being Kalle being back. What are your initial thoughts about who's going to go well?
You've mentioned him already, haven't you? It feels so boring in a way to pick him out so quickly, but Rovanperä to me, well, firstly, it's going to be fascinating to see him back, first of all, and it doesn't feel like that long since we last saw him, given there's not a huge off-season in WRC, but it was weird to see him in the Casino Square at the start of the season for Monaco, but not driving or competing. It was a bit weird, and there were times throughout the Monte Carlo weekends where I was like, "Oh, where's Rovanperä?" And oh, wait, yeah, of course he's not in the running. So having him back will be interesting, first of all. Then to see Harry, if he is any different with this sort of different program he's got, he's not having to worry about driving for a championship. But as we touched on a little bit in our Monte review podcast already, it gives him an immediate advantage on Friday because you'd expect him to have been quite far up the running order if he'd done Monty, but he's not. He's down at the back of the Rally 1 cars, so that should give him a road position advantage. And if we all know Kalle Rovanperä, he's not the sort of character that needs an advantage to succeed. So I think it could be very interesting to see how well he goes. I'm struggling to see him doing anything less than a podium. To be honest, anything other than a win would potentially surprise me. He is odds-on favourite for me. Gone well with Sweden in the past. Loves the snow and ice. Will be keen to make a bit of a statement, just enjoy himself. And yeah, I think it'll be one of those weekends where we potentially all sit back and just marvel at his brilliance.
I have to say, I don't think I can disagree with you. The only thing I would say is that, obviously, last year he did have some struggles when he was doing second pass of stages, but obviously the road position was a big factor in that. But when you look back to 2022, where he absolutely just, that was when we sort of really thought, okay, he's arrived, hasn't he, in terms of a championship contender, when he won that rally in 2022. So you'd think that that's sort of what we're going to expect to see this time round. Obviously, he did Arctic Lapland Rally as a sort of precursor to Sweden to get a bit of mileage under the belt, as did Elfyn Evans. Elfyn won the rally, but Cali actually had a sort of technical issue on the last stage. He had almost a minute lead over Elf at that point, so it looked like an odds-on victory for him until that fault. This is what Cali had to have to say after the rally.
The whole day has been actually quite good feeling. Finally today I think found the last tweaks of the car. The car felt really fast all the time. I was happy with it. The morning loop went really well. Afternoon also, we were having good pace all the time, good feeling. And then, yeah, unfortunately we had some technical issues on the last stage of the rally, a few kilometers before the end. So sadly we couldn't finish on top this event, but at least we enjoyed and we got the most important thing, which was the kilometers for testing. It's quite demanding because it's only one event per year on snow, so we need to nail the setup on only few tests. We don't have so much experience on snow always with the car and the setup, so we need to be sure the car is fast when we go to Sweden. So yeah, the expectation for Sweden is quite good. It's nice to be going back to WC event now after a small break for us. So yeah, hopefully the starting place will be now finally good for us after a long, long time, and we can enjoy the rally. And of course, we are trying to fight for the victory to bring the points for the team.
As you can see there, he sounds fairly confident already. But again, the mileage is important for Cali, even though that sounds weird, you know, saying that. But when you do have a sort of round you miss, I suppose you do actually need that mileage.
Yeah, seat time is the key in all forms of motorsport, isn't it? But I guess particularly rallying, where, as you say, he hasn't been in a car at full speed, I don't think, since November's Japan before this. So that is enough time to sort of not question yourself, but what you don't want to be doing in around the WRC these days with how competitive they are and I guess how short they are compared to how they used to be. You cannot afford to not be on your A game from the first stage. You need to feel match fit. So this gives him, or has given him, the chance to just get back into the car, get used to the driving, make sure he himself feels ready. And yeah, I think based on the performance he was making relative to Elvin, I think it's fair to say he looks, and as you say, he stands there, very, very up for the challenge. I guess the Elvin angle is maybe the interesting one, which we'll get to in a second. But for both of them, it has to be said, I think any seat time they can get is going to be beneficial because there's so little testing opportunities now. And we've seen it in the last couple of years. I think it was particularly in 21, Hyundai were doing about a national rally here, there and everywhere all the time, just getting the drivers up to speed. And it does make a difference. It definitely does. So it's nice to see the Toyota are doing this more and more as well, because it never used to be quite as hot on it, I don't think, in the past. So yeah, I think for both drivers, it's great. For the fans up in Finland, it was great to have these cars out there as well, for what was in itself, regardless, an interesting rally.
But also, I think for Toyota, it's actually quite important, because if you remember last year, they didn't actually get a podium in Sweden, and it was Oit Tanak in the Mem Sport Ford, and then the Hyundais of Craig Breen and Thierry Neuville. So it was actually unusual for Toyota not to be on the podium in Sweden. So clearly they thought we need to rectify that going into this year, and they've obviously done this extra test event to make sure that they've nailed their setups for Sweden, which is obviously a very smart decision to do, as you said there, with the lack of testing. Obviously we'll move on to Elfin now, because in that rally obviously he was going up against Cali, and if you look at the stage times, I think Elfin won a couple of stages, certainly in the morning loop he won one and Cali won four, and then into the second half of the rally sort of Cali really sort of extended his lead out and you could sort of see the difference. Obviously that's probably a little bit of a concern for Elfin, but also not a concern, I guess, if you're thinking championship, because Cali isn't doing the full championship. But I guess as a driver, you always want to be the fastest and you always want to be right up there and have the best pace. We've got some audio from Elfin from the rally, so this is what he had to say.
Having mileage on snow and ice is a massive benefit because it's such a unique surface. So to take the mileage was, I think, important. And yeah, it's no secret that we expected to have some work ahead of us to get the car into the window we wanted. And for sure, I think we've made some steps, but I still have a few left to feel fully comfortable. In the past, there's been some good performances in Sweden, but never... Okay, we won in 20, but that was quite a unique set of conditions, let's say. And since, yeah, we've had definitely good speed at points, but never brought it together. So, Yeah, I'm keen to refine the form of old, because some of it seems to be missing at the moment. There's always things we can do, and of course I'm quite a driver that likes the car to perform in a certain way, and of course to find that always is not easy on all these different surfaces. So I think definitely there's things we can do on both sides to try and bring everything to work in harmony, let's say. We all know that what type of rally Sweden's become with the gravel coming through on second pass, so of course it's quite a key part of it to get right.
As you can see there, Elfyn not totally confident about his own speed and feels like he needs to find something extra. I mean, I can understand his theory behind that, but what are your thoughts? I mean, obviously he's going to want to go for the victory, but if he's thinking about championship like he was in Monty, does he really need to challenge Cali for victory?
Yeah, I think before we just heard from Elfyn there, you summarised it very, very well. And I think that's ultimately the conundrum that the title chasers are going to face this year, because you've got so many interlopers coming in as part-timers who will more often than not be in a better place in the running order, so should be at a bit of an advantage, which then could make them pretty difficult to beat. So in a way, it's not about beating everybody, it's about beating your championship rivals, which is always the case, but I think this year that could particularly be of importance. But yeah, it's a very interesting interview from Elfyn, I have to say. It's typical Elfyn in a sense. He's always honest and he's always very, very hard on himself, but it worries me a little bit actually that he's done that amount of time and he's still not managed to make it work. Now, there could be so many people that would argue either way whether he should have been so upfront about it. I like it. I much prefer that he's honest. I think that only helps him and everybody else as well. But you could argue that if you're Neuville or Tanak right now, you listen to that and think, oh, okay, this gives us a chance. But then the psychology works the other way, where actually, I'm not suggesting for a second Elfyn's is bluffing about it, but if that gives Hyundai too much confidence, maybe Elfyn isn't feeling strong, it works either way. So it is interesting to hear him be so open about his struggles anyway, because I wouldn't go as far to suggest that drivers don't do that enough, but it's nice to feel that you know it's genuine with Elfyn. He's not putting a mask over it. But I agree. I don't think he has to think about winning this one. Of course, as you said, he wants to. Why wouldn't you? The rally drivers is what they do. But the most important thing for him is scoring more points than Neuville and Tanak. That has to be the key. So even if he's second, I guess that's the perfect result in a sense. First would be nicer. But even second with the added point system there, there's opportunities on a Sunday to go well and boost that, as he did in Monty, actually. He got more for third than he would have done another year. So there are ways to make that points tally better, even if his teammate is scarping off into the distance, like I'm so boldly assuming that he will. But yeah, I think even Evans's history on this surface, actually, it's he obviously has won Sweden in the past, but
yeah,
I guess compared to other Rally Swedens, 2020 edition was rather different. There was a distinct lack of snow, a shortened itinerary. The stages were effectively gravel in a lot of places, so it was more like Finland, where he's obviously done very well in the past. So I wouldn't say it's his favourite surface. Elfyn, there's probably other drivers out there that prefer the snow and ice to him, but he's that good a driver now that none of this will faze him. He will go out there and do, as he always does, the best of what he has. And I'm sure it'll work out a lot better than perhaps he's expecting based on what he just said there.
And also, we have to remember, he's always very modest, isn't he, Elfyn, in his interviews? Like, even after winning Rally Finland for the second time, he was still didn't want to really get too excited, even though that is an incredible achievement.
We're like, Elfyn, look what you've done. He's like, no, it's just another rally. It's another 30 points. He's like, Elfyn, you've won Finland again.
Yeah, but again, I like it. I like the fact that he's modest, because we see too much the other way sometimes in this sport. So certainly in motorsport in general. So I like it. I like the fact he's modest. I like the fact, as you said, that he's when you listen to him, you're not sort of thinking he's lying to you. He genuinely is. It's genuine. Like and I think that's an important trait for the drivers to have, and it also makes them be able to connect with the audience better, I think, if you are seen as genuine. It's going to be interesting on the Toyota side of things. Obviously, we've got to factor in Takamoto as well, who has gone very well in Sweden, hasn't he? And this is kind of almost a sort of quasi home rally in a way for him, obviously being living in Finland. He's done a lot of testing here. I think he could be in the mix too.
I agree. I think he is the potential dark horse for this one because he's a driver that I think is, he's going to unfortunately find this a lot this year, I think, with obviously one of his teammates fighting for a championship and the other two being a rotating cast of multiple world champions. So he's in that position where he potentially gets a bit overshadowed, but I think that will work really nicely for Taka. He doesn't need the pressure on his, he doesn't need the limelight. He'll just go out and do his thing. And we saw it last year. I can't remember the exact gap or the exact position, but he was definitely up in among the leading fight before he had that incident. And obviously, yes, he had the incident, but the speed is there. He clearly is quick enough. And I keep going on about road position, but I think he'll be, what, mid-pack? He'll be better than some of the others. So, yeah, I think I don't want to label a position or a prediction where he might end up, but I definitely think we cannot be discounting him from the leading positions, which I guess from Elvin's perspective is a slight worry as well, because Taka's not going to slow down and let Elvin pass him. If that situation arises, we know Toyota doesn't do that. I'd be very surprised if it turned out they did a Hyundai of last year and nailed the colours to the mast so quickly. So, yeah, I think it'll be interesting for Taka. As you say, he's a bit of a home rally from always gone really well when the going gets quick, I guess with the possible exception of Estonia last year, which seemed to be a complete confusing weekend joy for him. But yeah, I think he's definitely going to be in the fight, which makes it much more interesting, a bit more of a curveball to have in there.
I guess let's move on to Hyundai now. Let's talk about those guys. Obviously, you know, Thierry Neuville, great start for him at Monte Carlo. You know, the best start possible. In fact, you know, couldn't get any more points than he did. We've got Oit Tanak, who's sort of still trying to find his feet and get used to the I-20. We know from Cyril, after speaking to him and Monty, that they're going to try and adapt this anti-lag system so that it's a bit more friendly for Tanak, which hopefully should help him in Sweden. And then obviously we've got Esa-Pekka Lappi, who's coming back into the fold as well, a bit like Cali. It's a very strong lineup on paper when you look at it from Hyundai, isn't it?
All year, to be honest. They've got that good. Obviously, their two full-time drivers are world class. We know this. One of them's already a world champion. The other one's made a very big statement of intent of wanting to win a world championship this year. So those two we don't need to speak about, but you're right. The third driver, any rally we go to, it's Sordo, it's Lappi, or it's Mickelson. Combine them with Neuville and Tanak, it's mega. Like, I honestly, I've been struggling to think of a better rotating cast of drivers you could possibly have. And I don't think it can be many in WRC history that have rivaled it. But I think Lappi in Sweden, with a good road position in particular, is a really exciting prospect. I think he's going to be the forgotten Finn almost, if you like, because we've already been talking about Rovan Perä. I think that's going to be naturally where everybody's immediate hype and focus is, because he's the reigning world champion. But we know how good Lappi is on this surface as well. Both the last couple of years, he's been good enough to get a podium. Last year, it was, I guess, a tyre issue that sort of destroyed that chance for him. So, yeah, I think he could be very, very sharp. He's obviously done some testing in the car as well. I think he was out there doing a bit of development on the car when Monty was going on, wasn't he? So he's certainly been busy enough getting his own acclimatization behind the wheel. So yeah, I'm excited to see him back as well. I think he's another driver that's going to benefit quite nicely from the part program. I guess we have seen that in the past with Toyota in 22. And he was very candid at the end of last year about how he expected the sort of better balance between work and home life, the work-life balance we all talk about in our normal jobs. I guess it does still apply to rally drivers, believe it or not. And for him, I think having less events to focus on, just pinpointing the ones he can do well and feeling happier because he's spending more time with his young family at home, I think we could see a really refreshed Lappi. And whenever Lappi's chilled out and he's relaxed, he's in the feeling. We know how quick he is. So yeah, very exciting prospect from that end.
And credit to him for being so upfront about that. It's obviously a massive decision to have to take. So fair play to him for that. And also, he's such a character. He's so enjoyable to interview, and you know, he's brilliant from the sport from that side of things as well. So I think everyone would love to see Lappi back there because he's just such a fun guy to be around. But talking about the prospects, so he's going to know what his job is, and it's been made quite clear by Hyundai that the third car is to support the other two. So the prospect of him going for a victory really is, I guess, is only going to happen if the other two fall out of the race, or the rally rather. So it's sort of an interesting situation with Lappi, because he sort of knows that he can't really sort of go for the victory, but he's got to be there to support the other two.
You're right. I think tactically, across the board, actually, this weekend could be very revealing and interesting, but talking about how nice civilly, because that's what you asked me, Master. I guess he can go for the win to start with, can't he? Because he needs to be as fast as possible. I guess his dream scenario is he gets out there, he gets first, he's got a Toyota behind him, and in Hyundai can't really do anything about that. I guess particularly if he's got Rovanperä there, that's of little threat to Hyundai in general because he's not one of the Drivers' Championship rivals. So I guess that's sort of dreamland for Lappi, isn't it, if that situation can come off. But yeah, it'll be interesting. And I guess it all depends on, I think we've almost got two fights to watch this weekend already, which feels bizarre saying on round two, but you've got the fight for the rally, and then you've got, it's not quite the fight for the championship, but we can call it that for some simplistic reasons, where all the three full-time drivers trying to contenders filter in and what they need to do versus each other, who's doing what points can you get on Sunday to sort of recover the gap. And that's the other thing tactically I think is interesting. Like, people say, for example, Rovanperä leads the rally into Sunday. Is he going to push flat out for Sunday points because they're effectively of no benefit to him at all? This all he wants to do is win the rally. No. I mean, this is true, yeah.
He doesn't back off. If his points are available, he goes for it.
Yeah, do you know what? You've kind of flattened my argument in one direction. When I think about it, the driver in particular. Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, even when there's a power stage up for grabs, he never backs off, does he? Like, even when he doesn't really need to get a power stage points victory. Like, it's, but yeah.
No, you're right. But it's ego as well as some drivers, isn't it? It's to say that you're fastest. So if there's any opportunity to get the points, they're going to go for it. But yeah, there are these unanswered questions that I guess were less prevalent in Monte because everybody was starting from zero. But now we're just something to build off. Mm. And the road positioning thing is more of a factor. I think it could be a very interesting jumble because we've talked about six drivers now. And I think all six genuinely have to be considered as contenders for at least a podium, if not more. So it's a very, very competitive bunch of drivers that you've got to factor in. And yeah, how Hyundai's tactics work will be fascinating, I dare say, actually. It's obviously different how they did it last year, but as you said, the third driver role has been very, very clearly defined to everyone. So I think we can definitely know what to expect if we see, say, Lappi's third and Tanak's fourth sort of thing. We know that's probably not going to last to the final time control.
Certainly, and also quite exciting is this sort of inter-team battle between Oit and Thierry. If Oit is up to speed in this car, and you've got those two going at it, sort of hammer and tongs, that's going to be fascinating to watch.
Yep, it is. One of those classic preseason conversations that probably didn't quite come to fruition on the first round, but there were obviously reasons for that. Tanak bedding himself into a new car. He then had that slight whoopsie, shall we call it, on the first full morning. But this time, I think, yeah, it does depend on Tanak's feeling, but it's a rally that suits him more. He obviously goes into this as a defending Rally Sweden winner as well, don't forget. So we know how good he is in this kind of surface. Neuville himself is a Rally Sweden winner in the past, so that's not to say that he can't do well, but Neuville's, I guess, poison chalice of that great Monty start is he will lead the field on Friday, which is not going to help him out at all. So in that inter-team battle, Friday is key for Tanak. Make your statement, get ahead, become the driver that potentially benefits from any team order stuff, etc., etc. But yeah, I'm curious to see how he goes because we talked about it on the last podcast, but it would be wrong to say it was a bad start for Tanak, but it was a bit sort of offbeat, wasn't it? It wasn't Tanak on full 10 out of 10 form. Everything wasn't quite clicking as it can. So I'm curious to see if Sweden is the first step towards the Tanak train really bolting out the station or if there's still more work to do.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, he's coming back. That was his first rally back into the team. So I think you can sort of allow potentially three or four for him to get up to speed before we really sort of see what he can produce. I think that's only fair, really. But we know what, as you said, we know what Oit can do. We saw what he did with the M Sport Puma last year to win the rally, which, you know, that aside, you know, you have to say it was the weakest of the three cars. Like, and if you look at they won the same amount of rallies as Hyundai last year, but in terms of development, it's not the same as the two factory guys. There is a disparate amount of resources, shall we say, that's probably the best way to describe it, between those two teams, or those three teams rather. So for him to be able to achieve that victory in the Puma, in his second rally in the Puma also says a lot about what he could do in his, say, second rally in the new I-20. So I'm not ruling him out winning this rally at all, because we know exactly what he can do. And also, you only have to look at Finland when he was in the Hyundai, 2022, where he produced an incredible performance, where even though he wasn't comfortable by any means in that car, he managed to drag probably one of the greatest drives we've seen from him. So he really is set up nicely, isn't it? It's set up so nicely, this rally, to be quite some spectacle. And I guess we should also talk about M-Sport now, because we've obviously gone over the sort of the factory two big boys, shall we say. Now we've got M-Sport Ford. They had a very good Monty, and we did talk about that in the last pod. But how do you feel about Adrian and Gregoire's chances here? Because this obviously is quite a specialist rally. I mean, for them, it's just surely just banking points and confidence and moving forward, right?
Yeah, I think it's going to be more difficult for M Sport this time than it was in Monte Carlo, potentially for, well, I was going to say two reasons. I'll say one main reason is, I would guess, and I could be remembering some kind of magic performance from one of them, but snow and ice isn't as natural performance for either driver, natural surface rather, for either driver compared to tarmac. So I guess they're more out of their comfort zone than maybe they would normally be. But again, they're in this position where nobody's really expecting that much of them. And psychologically, I still maintain that I think that's a really, really nice place to be, because effectively they've got nothing to lose. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to absolutely send it and just try and achieve the impossible, but they're not going to be competing with the expectation that they're going to have to get X, Y, or Z. They're just going to do their thing. And as you said, I think for both drivers, finishing that incident is key. And for the team as well, I think that's getting this consistency is going to be key to them having, I guess, bigger pushes and fights later on in the year. There are events actually coming up quite soon that are going to suit them. I think FOMO, particularly in Safari, could actually go quite well. But yeah, this one, I think, will be trickier. The advantage they do have, I guess, Munster in particular, he's not right at the back because we've got Robin Perrell and Lappi joining, and Bertelli actually, but he is further back than others, so that could give him a bit of an advantage. FOMO is kind of a little bit more unfortunate. He's more sort of mid-pack, so I think it will be a sensible approach. Neither is going to try and push 10 tenths because they know even if they are at their absolute best, it's going to be difficult to fight for the top results. So yeah, I think it'll be experience banking, which is in a way a bit sort of uninspiring to some, but massively important for everybody's future concern there, that they get the mileage and get used to these roads, because they are very specific challenge in Sweden, particularly now we've moved north to Umeå. Very, very long straights and fast corners and stuff. So yeah, both drivers, I think, yeah, Munster did it last year, didn't he? Did it in a Rally 3 car, believe it or not. So that'll be a bit of a different experience in Rally 1 this time around. But for him as well, first time Rally 1 on this kind of surface as well, actually. He has got a bit of experience from Chile on gravel, but Sweden isn't quite the same. You've got that many studs in your tyres that you've probably got more grip than actually most events on the calendar, bizarrely. So yeah, definitely, I think a sort of safety first, cautious, and see what they can pick up weekend from M-Sport, I reckon.
And I want a camera on Munster's eyes in Shakedown, just to see how wide they go once he gets up to speed, because I think that would be fantastic, because I think he's in for a real surprise just how quick this is going to be.
But I was going to say, just a quick point, it's the first flat out ish rally he's done in this car, isn't it? I guess Central Europe is quite quick in places, but yeah, this is Rally 1. It's like the advert, isn't it? The showreel of Rally 1. This is it at its peak performance. Yeah, that'll be interesting.
We should move on to Rally 2 in this respect, really, of obviously we are expecting, I guess, a strong showing from the new Toyota GR Yaris Rally 2. It was quick at the Arctic Rally, which Callie and Elfin were competing in, which Mikko Häkkilä was second overall in the Rally 2. So that sort of marks its sort of first, I guess, victory for the car, if you want to call it that. That's going to be interesting, isn't it, to see how they go in the Rally 2 battle.
100%, yeah. I think Monty was a bit of a confusing, maybe quite the wrong word, but it was hard to fully gauge just where the car was, but I think we're going to get a very clear indicator this time around. You mentioned already Häkkilä. I think it's a very interesting complexion in the WRC2 battle. this weekend. You've got Sami Pyari again in there. We know how good he is. I guess Solberg is their benchmark, isn't he? Both in terms of how good he is, but also the Skoda being the sort of car to beat, I guess, on this surface. So that's going to be interesting where that matchup comes in. But as you say, there's a lot of quick fins in those cars that will be more than capable of delivering the result. So yeah, I think as ever, there's going to be plenty of intrigue in WRC too.
And also a little shout out to the Junior WRC that kicks off in Sweden. And also we've got this new sort of edition of the Rallystar FIA Rallystar competitors making their first outing in the category. I'm really looking forward to seeing how they go, having sort of spent some time with them in training in Sardinia. That's a really nice little side note to see how they're going to go. And also, you know, full credit to the FIA for that program, for giving these drivers that perhaps wouldn't have had a chance the opportunity to have a career in this sport. So I'm really, really looking forward to see how they go.
Me too. And I think you're right to put the praise there, because we're all very quick to sort of complain or criticize about things that governing bodies do. But this is a genuinely, for these drivers, this is a complete golden ticket, once in a lifetime opportunity. And it's not just a 1 year program for three, and they get a second year out of this as well. So it's pretty incredible what they're getting to do. But you're right, I'm really intrigued to see where they all filter in. But there's 19 drivers, which is mental. Like, I think that is it's a record entry, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I was speaking to one of the co-drivers competing, and he was like, if we get a top 10, I'll be happy. And it's like, that's how competitive it is. We're all in the same car. Like, it is genuine. That's going to be a really, really fascinating battle to watch, I think.
Also, I would like to sort of just, while we're sort of having shout-outs, a shout-out to the Rally Sweden organisers. We know they do a fantastic job, but this year they sort of renamed the Bratbury stage, the 42 Bratbury stage, in honour of Craig Breen after last year, where he sort of declared himself the mayor of Bratbury after winning that stage. A really, really nice touch from the organisers. Obviously, a very tragic situation there, in terms of we lost Craig so soon after that event. I think a really nice touch to honour a driver that clearly was a real star on those snow stages in Sweden.
Yeah, there's not too much more I can really add there, really. But you're right, perfect sort of tip of the hat there. Actually, last year, I can't remember the gaps, but Craig was the complete king of that stage. As you say, he declared himself the mayor. And I still actually find myself watching back that stage interview. So I remember at the time, like, it just gave me so much joy, almost, just to see, because we know he'd had a difficult year beforehand, just to see that Craig was back. It was special. I think so forever now, I think for so many fans, Bratby is going to be the Craig Breen stage. So yeah, I think a really nice touch. Completely agree to sort of name the stage in his honour.
Yeah, obviously, yeah, it's always going to be a difficult sort of going back there after what happened last year and how good Craig was. But as I said, I think everyone will sort of have him in their thoughts next week. So yeah, as I said, well played the organisers. Very, you know, take my hat off to you for that's a really nice touch. Now, to we will move on now to a new what will be a new segment potentially, which now, for the people that know Luke Barry, he's one of the finest rally brains out there. He's got a lot of knowledge, a real true fan of this sport, and has perhaps if he was going to go on Mastermind, this would be his specialist subject. So
There's not a lot I know about it, Tom, to be fair, apart from that would have to be
Barry's knowledge in a segment that we're thinking about calling Barry's Brain. So it will be a five questions about Rally Sweden, which I will pose to Luke. If he gets them right, he gets a point. If I manage to stump him with a question, I get a point. So there's a competition in here that hopefully will carry on in our preview pods for the rest of the season. But we'll see how it goes. But also, play along at home. Feel free to join in and answer the questions, write them down, send them in if you really want to. But yeah, anyway, we'll try this and see how we go. So you ready, Luke? You ready for some questioning?
I was, until suddenly, you know, it's classic game show stuff. The pressure gets on. You sit and watch these things at home when you're listening. Oh, I know the answer to that. But when you're in the hot seat, you panic. And I feel like I'm panicking right now. That's not good. Deep breaths, everyone. But yeah,
it's, I think, right,
this could be, this has great potential to expose me as a fraud. So I'm a little bit worried there. But let's see. I'm curious what you come up with.
Here we go then. Question one. Well, hopefully we'll we'll warm you up here with something. So who has scored the most Rally Sweden wins?
Ooh, now my brain, I'm thinking of Finland. I was thinking there was an event, it was Stig and it was Marcus, but that's Finland, so it's Stig Blomqvist, is it?
Correct. Stig Blomqvist with seven wins. Straight out the bat, he's away. There we go. So there we go. You're off the mark. Okay, now, question two. Who was the first non-Nordic-born driver to win Rally Sweden, and what year?
Sebastian Loeb, 2004.
Straight out, straight in. Perfect. Correct.
That one was too easy for me. That's peak my childhood watching WRC. So that was the era where I'd watched all the reviews and all these things are burned into my brain. So
yeah. When you think, it is incredible. It took till 2004 for that to happen.
It is. Finland was 1990, that fell. And I think there were so many times where everybody thought, no, there's no way anybody not from Scandinavia can win this rally. But yeah, 2004, like, the event's been going since, what, the 60s, 70s? Like, that's a lot of years of expertise. But it just shows, I guess, how specific the conditions are. I guess nowadays, to be fair, I'm thinking about it, there's been still plenty of Nordic drivers winning. But yeah, the way WRC works now, isn't it? It's less specialised. Yeah, exactly.
It highlights how good Loeb was, I guess. That's the fact that he did come over there.
Also true.
Okay, perfect start so far. You're not letting me down. But also, I'm not getting any points on the board. So let's... question three then. Okay, what record did Jari-Matti Latvala achieve by winning Rally Sweden in 2008?
Well, Tom, he became the youngest ever winner of a WRC round, eclipsing Henry Toivonen at the time. I remember it quite well. A record, of course, which now stands in his young driver, Kalle Rovanperä's name.
Correct. And do you have a screen up on your computer, or are you actually...
I promise I don't. I can't prove it in podcast form, but I promise I don't.
As I said, I built him up and he's not letting me down here. He's got the knowledge. Okay, then. The penultimate question. This might get you.
Are we ramping it up?
There's a bit of a ramp here, yeah. So before Elfyn Evans won Rally Sweden in 2020, what was the best result by a British driver in a WRC edition of the rally?
Oh, my word. Do you want... Wow, okay. Yeah, this is harder. Do you want specific years and stuff or just the driver's name?
I will take the driver's name because it is a tough question.
Okay. Well, I know Colin McRae has finished second before. So, and that was 92. So I would have to go with that by process elimination because there wasn't... Elfyn was the first Brit to win the event. I know that much. I'm just trying to think if it was any others that got second, but I don't think Meek ever did. I don't know if Burns... I'm going to have to go with McRae in 92.
You are correct.
you didn't give anything away there from you. I can see your face right now. You didn't give anything away, which is good. I was trying to look at you and see if you were trying to give me a hint, but you didn't.
I need to do a better job of coming up with questions, clearly. We'll move on to the power stage questions, I like to call it. Question five, because there was five bonus points up for grabs. And this is a real... This will be a tester, but also I'm pretty confident that... I think you'll get it. But anyway, so this will be, can you name the top five finishers from Rally Sweden 2018?
Ooh. Wow. Okay. Just for context then, if it's the power stage question, if I get like two right, am I getting 2 points? I come fourth fastest.
Yes, that's correct.
That's how it works. Okay.
But so to be honest, you've already won this round. I cannot win this round now. it is irrelevant.
No, I can stretch my words back into the chat.
If you want to go for the real Monty perfect score, then, you know.
I do. The Paris stage always matters, Tom. I'm 2018. Neuville won.
Yes, correct.
I know that. Was Tanak second? Or was this the year that Tanak put it in a snowbank passing Meek? I think it was, wasn't it? So Tanak wasn't second. He can't have been after that. Oh, I'm struggling already. This isn't good. Who was driving 2018 as well? Jari-Matti was still around. Lappi was around. Ogier, I forgot about Ogier. I'm confident in first. That's about it so far. I'm going to have to start guessing. I will say second. Was it Craig? Was he second?
Correct.
I'm misremembering that.
Correct.
Was he? Okay. That came out of nowhere. Third place.
Because if you remember, that was the what? When you remember, he was in tears in the Citroen.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely got. I knew he had a good result in Sweden, but I couldn't remember what car and what year. Obviously before the Hyundai one. Okay, I'm just gonna completely plump and say third Ogier, because that's what he does. It was a Citroen. Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was C3 that year.
Sorry,
I just couldn't remember
my own
what.
Knowledge there.
Yeah, no, it was. It was. But yeah, I'm gonna guess third is Ogier.
Incorrect.
Ooh, okay, that's the point off the board. So do I keep guessing for third place there just for fun, or do I go down to fourth?
I mean, you can if you want, or we can move to fourth.
And so I'll do it as third, not for points because we can't, but just so I can eliminate drivers from fourth or fifth. If I know who's third, I will say Tanak now, but that might be too ambitious.
That's incorrect.
This is stumping me now. Who was around in 2018? Who was driving Hyundai 2018? I've completely dismissed them.
I'll give you a clue. Two of the three drivers are still competing in Rally 1.
Okay. Hmm. Right. I think a lot of them are still around. The way he specified Rally 1 is all made to think is one of them no longer... You're going to have to go on. Is it take too long? Tell me who third place is if you can. I feel bad for asking, but...
Third place was Andreas Mikkelsen.
Yeah, I should have got that. Okay. So, we've got Neuville Breen Mikkelsen. That was a bit different, wasn't it, as a podium? I like that. Fourth, I'm going to say him again because I've mentioned him a lot. Oh, no, but he wouldn't have been as high as fourth. No, he wasn't. I was going to say Tanak, but it was. It can't have been. He went in that snowbank. I will say it'll be a Toyota. Is it Lappi or is it Latvala? I will say you said two of the three. Lappi.
Correct.
Clutch play that, Thomas. That was big for me.
You're just missing modest. P5. And
he's missing P5.
And the clue that you have is he's not competing in Rally 1 anymore. So...
Okay, so that makes me... I'm just doing my due diligence here, because it could be Chris Meek, but I'm going to guess Latvala for that.
Incorrect.
Was it Meek?
No.
Padden?
Padden it was.
Yeah. I've forgotten about Hayden, you know. Sorry, Hayden, if you are listening. Yeah.
To be fair,
well,
that
okay.
is... I mean, fair play to you. I think you did a very good job.
Yeah, but it's funny though when you look at rallies in isolation, isn't it? Or sort of retrospectively, like that's a pretty interesting top five now. If you look at that,
it is indeed. Yeah.
So I see some heavy hitters of the time. Tanak Ogier not in the top five. Because Neuville took the championship lead from that, I think, didn't he? This is really sad. And I remember doing. I was working for a sponsor of a championship at the time, and I did a little podcast with a co-driver in the championship, and we talked about Neuville and was this his year after that rally. So I knew he'd won. That was just burned in my little brain. But yeah, I couldn't have told you a top five. I didn't swat up for that.
We can declare this that you know your stuff because you've absolutely wiped the floor with me with those questions. So I need to do a better job at... now I know what the level is. I need to do a better job of getting the questions. But fair play to you, that was impressive to get... What, you got four... Essentially, you got four of the five correct. No, three of three. You got three,
yeah.
And you got three of the top five in the power stage question. So, yeah, I think you should feel proud of that. That's a very good effort.
Yeah, but we take that. That's a good opening round score, isn't it? It builds you up nicely for the rest of the year. So we'll take that. We'll take that. Gladly. And as I say, do let us know if you enjoy that as well. Yeah. It's very fun for me. It's fun for Tom to test me, but hopefully it does come out well for everybody else listening to us ramble on. So yeah.
As I said, it was just a bit of fun. If we feel like this is something we want to continue, we'll continue it. But yeah, it's always nice to, I don't know about you, but I love trivia. So any chances to have a quiz or something, I'm always up for it. So yeah, well, I think we can declare Barry's brain is firing on all cylinders this morning. So he's definitely come out the blocks quickly on that. So it's a 1-0 lead to him already. So I'm gonna have to do some homework. So there we go. That was the first Barry's brain quiz, and that will wrap up today's podcast. Well, with that, Rally Sweden is just a few days away. It is a chance for Toyota to reset and come back swinging with Elfyn Evans and Kalle Rovanperä. Can they prevent another Hyundai win, or will Thierry Neuville and Oit Tanak build upon their Monty success? We'll find all that out and more very soon. Thanks for joining me, Luke. Until next time, thanks for listening to the Gravel Notes podcast.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Some crimes are never forgotten, others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.